Testing, 1, 2, 3.
The date is October 20th, 1991. This is Tammy Pierno, and I'm interviewing Nancy Pierno. We're in her living room, sitting on her French room couch. Okay, Nancy, my first question is, where were you born at?
Lynn, Massachusetts, just outside of Boston.
Well, how long did you live there for?
Until I was 20, and I graduated from college and came out here to teach school in Kemmerer.
What made you decide to come out here to teach school?
Well, really, I was looking for a job. I was an English major. In order to teach English in high school in Massachusetts at that time, you had to have a master's degree, which I didn't have. Uh-huh. And so I started looking around out of state. Actually, Alaska sort of interested me. I
read
an ad for teachers in Alaska. And so I answered the ad, which came out of Colorado. And Alaska was all booked up, but they had oodles of openings throughout the West. And I sent in a few resumes and got a phone call from Kemmerer, Wyoming, saying, how soon can you be here? And so this is where I wound up.
How did you travel out here? Was it by train?
I came by train.
And was that exciting? Was that first time on the train?
Oh, I had hardly ever been away from home overnight before.
Oh, really?
And here I was going off into the wilderness, and, you know, the neighbors sort of took bets that I wouldn't last till Thanksgiving.
Oh, gee.
And that was almost 40 years ago.
Oh, really? Now, was it Massachusetts University, or how? What kind of college was it?
Oh, I went to Emmanuel College, which was a small women's college in Boston, a Catholic college, as a matter of fact.
Did you attend a private elementary school, or was
I went to public schools the first 8 years, and then to a parochial high school.
And did you like that?
Yes, I did. And it was all girls. Of course, it was right next door to the boys' high school. I remember my first day in high school just being overwhelmed by the friendliness of everybody.
Oh, really? Usually,
you know, I was kind of shy about going. I was a very shy child, by the way.
Uh-huh.
People find that hard to believe right now. And going all the way downtown to a new school was sort of frightening to me.
Is there a large amount in the high school of students?
I would say between 300 and 400 girls.
Oh, really? That's quite a large number. Did you spend a lot of time studying or playing games, or?
Let me see, what did I do in high school? I didn't date. Well, I did for the prom, senior prom, and I think that was about it. I did not study a lot. I've always been a reader.
Uh-huh.
Actually, until I got to college, things came so easily to me that I didn't really have to study very much.
Well, that
which
nice.
Is now it's sort of a curse.
Oh, really?
Because then when you really have to study, it's you haven't trained yourself. You have no skills.
Oh, I'm
so. But what were the things? I took a bus to school every day. I lived about 2 miles from the school. Occasionally, we walked on night, not to school, but home from school on nice days. There was a coffee shop near there, and we, part of it was during my senior year, we would occasionally gather in the coffee shop after school.
Uh-huh.
And of course, the boys would gather there too. It was just sort of a hangout for kids from both the boys' and the girls' high school.
Did they have sports, like basketball, or anything extra?
We didn't have any girls' teams.
Uh-huh.
And the boys didn't have many teams. There were not many extracurricular activities. No, I don't remember staying after school for anything, really. We put on a program once a year called the Maytime Fantasy, and the whole school was in that.
Oh,
there was chorus, and I remember there were performances that I went to, but we didn't have a dramatic club or anything. You know, one school let out, that was it.
Well, that's kind of nice. Different from what we
different
do
from
nowadays,
when the school takes up 24 hours
yes,
of your
does.
Day.
Yes, it does. What kind of games did you play as a child?
Oh, let me see. We lived on a dead-end street. There were maybe, at the most, 10 houses on the street, 5 on each side,
uh-huh.
and a pond at the end of the street. There was a wall just before you came to the pond, so you wouldn't drive into it. Football. We played football out in the middle of the street.
The traditional football, like we have now? Or?
Well, it would be touch football, I would say.
Yeah. Were the streets paved or
yes.
grass?
Yes, the street was paved. And it was quite interesting because we would play football, and I didn't always play. Sometimes I just watched. But, you know, all of a sudden someone would look at his watch and say, oh, 4 o'clock, tea time. And they would all troop into my house, and my mother would serve us all tea.
Oh,
my mother had tea every afternoon at 4.
Oh, really?
And anyone who was around joined us.
Oh.
And to hear these, you know, 14, 15-year-old kids saying, oh, it's time for tea. I look back on it now and find it amusing. We skated a lot. I was never a very good skater, but we lived on the pond, as I said.
Uh-huh.
And hockey was a sport we took part in. Then there were, of course, you know, you get together at night and you'd play hide and seek
uh-huh.
or ring-a-lebio.
And what is that?
I can't even remember how to play ring-a-lebio, but it's a sort of a hide-and-seek type game.
Oh, really? I've never heard of it.
Well, I've heard it pronounced different other ways, but that's
yeah.
the way we said it, ring-a-lebio. And I think probably it never found its way out here,
oh,
and
really?
I really can't give you directions on how
yeah.
to play it.
Okay. Where were your parents originally from?
They both had Irish backgrounds, but my mother was born in Ireland and my father in England. My father did not like to admit he was born in England because he considered himself very Irish.
Uh-huh.
So, of course, I'm first generation mm-hmm. born here.
Yeah. How many brothers and sisters do you have?
I had 3 brothers and 3 sisters.
So a large family.
So we grew up in a large family, yes.
Were you the oldest or in the
I
middle?
I was the next to the youngest.
Oh, really? Was
mm-hmm.
that hard for you or did you? You like being there?
I don't know. You know, in those days you didn't, should I say, feel abused or feel you
yeah.
had to be in some spot or something. In a way, my 3 older sisters were attractive, got along very well. I was very mousy. As a whole, the whole family was quiet.
Uh-huh.
But I was a real mousy child, and I don't know whether it was because I had so many older brothers and sisters or not.
Yeah, that could be.
And I'm not going to say we were real close. My 3 older sisters were closer in age
uh-huh.
than I was to them. So I was just a little kid.
Okay, what was going to church like as a child? Did you go every week, or how was that set up?
Yes, we went every week. And certain times of the year, we might go every day, such as during Lent. Mm-hmm. Let me see, we lived, by the way, we never had a family car.
Oh, really?
I lived in 2 different houses as a child.
Uh-huh.
The first one is the house I was born in. I was born at home. And when I was 8 years old, we moved, that was about 2 miles from the church. We moved to a house that was closer to the church, but it was still over a mile away. And that was the reason for moving.
Oh, to be closer
to
the church?
To be closer to the church, because we walked back and forth all the time. What was the question? What was the going to church
like?
We walked, and in the winter when you walked by that cold pond,
mm-hmm.
the ice just went right through you.
Yeah.
But it never did keep us from going that I know of. A And you know, this was a city of almost 100,000 that I lived in. But we knew most of the people in our parish, or at least knew them by sight.
Uh-huh.
There may have been about 7 different parishes in the Catholic parishes in the city. And we knew the people in our neighborhood. You hear, you know, that you live in a city and you don't know your neighbors and such.
Mm.
We knew all our neighbors.
Did you get together and have barbecues or any neighborhood type, or were they all more church related?
Actually, we didn't socialize that much with the neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
We were quite New Englandish, you know. If something happened to a neighbor, everybody would in the neighborhood would be there to help out.
Uh-huh.
But other than that, you didn't socialize very much. You had your own groups elsewhere, mm-hmm. I guess.
Okay.
I'm trying to think of my mother's and father's friends, and most of them lived, you know, maybe 20, 30 miles away.
Mm-hmm.
They were not necessarily in our neighborhood.
If you had to go downtown, did you take a bus? Or?
Yes.
How much was, like, the bus fare?
Oh, well, it was a nickel until I was 12, and then it was a dime.
So it just kept going up.
And now it's probably a dollar or something.
Mm.
We had excellent bus service, which they don't have today back there either, or any place in the country, I guess. At least every 20 minutes you could catch a bus downtown.
And what was going downtown? Was that a big thing? Or?
It was about going 2 miles, and it certainly was a big thing until I got to high school and then went down every day.
Mm-hmm.
But before that, yes, it would have been a big thing. I'm not sure I ever went downtown alone before I got to high school, but I imagine I did. But let me tell you something interesting. Before I started college, I had only been into Boston twice in my life, I think.
Oh, really?
And Boston was 15 miles away.
Oh, my goodness. And how much bigger is Boston?
How much bigger what?
Yeah,
is Boston?
Yeah, the population.
500,000, 1,000,000, mm-hmm. something like that.
Was that scary for you? Or?
Well, of course, I didn't go in alone.
Yeah.
And, of course, I'm sure when I started college, and I lived at home and commuted every day by bus to college. So I'm sure that you know, I had to learn the ropes. I'm sure, I know, when I first went, I had friends with me. We went in a group.
Yeah. You would.
Till we learned our way.
Yeah. What did your father do for occupation?
He was a machinist. Worked for the United Shoe Machinery Company. Most of the shoes from this country were made in Massachusetts at that time.
Oh.
And what he did was make the machinery to make the shoes.
Oh. So. And was that like a 5-day-week job?
Yes.
Did he enjoy working?
I think maybe during the war he worked 6 days. I don't think he was crazy about his job.
Yeah.
It was a job that you went to every day, and it was steady. And I don't really remember the Depression.
Yeah.
But the fact was that he had a job all during the Depression when lots of people didn't. So that was something to be grateful for.
Yeah, definitely.
And of course, he had a large family. He couldn't just say, I don't like this job, I think I'll look around for something else. So it was just where he went every day to get enough to support his family.
Okay. What hobbies did you enjoy as a child?
Reading.
Mm-hmm. What kind of books did you read?
Oh, I would say mostly fiction at that time. I thoroughly enjoy nonfiction now, but growing up it would be mostly fiction. I went through my Nancy Drew stage. and I liked mysteries. Maybe a light romance, but the books we read were nothing like the magazine articles that you can read today.
And is reading what made you, you said you majored in English?
Yes.
Is reading had an effect on that, why you decided English?
Definitely. I just loved literature.
Mm-hmm.
I really did.
And that's why you decided to be a teacher, or what kind of made you decide to go to college to be a teacher?
I kind of hate to admit this. I didn't go to college to be a teacher. I went to college to get an education. About my junior year, it suddenly dawned on me, oh my gosh, you've got to support yourself pretty soon. And so then I started taking education courses. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't that I had a burning desire to teach. Mm-hmm. It was that I needed a job. After I became a teacher, then I had a burning desire to impart to the kids. I really did. But I didn't start out that way.
Oh, that's different. Did your brothers and sisters attend college too, or?
Some. Let me see, my oldest brother is a college graduate. He started college, then went into the service, and then came back and finished. My oldest sister went to interior decorating school. The next sister went to, was an x-ray technician. Went to school for that. The next sister went to several colleges, and I don't think she ever got beyond a freshman year anyplace. The next boy in the family is a college graduate, and I'm sure only because he was in the service. He is, you know, we had as a family reputation for being very well behaved, quiet, good students.
Uh-huh.
And came home with good report cards and such. And this brother, who's just older than I, was the only one who was not a good student, but we didn't really realize it till he was in high school and almost didn't graduate.
Oh, goodness.
And I'm sure he never would have gone on to college. But he went into the service and was in the Navy towards the end of World War II, and came back and went to college and finished.
Was college very expensive, or?
You would think it was peanuts. I think my tuition was $300 a year.
Mm-hmm. And did you have to work to help pay for your tuition, or
yes,
did your parents?
I did. I would say I mostly put myself through college by babysitting. In high school, I got a babysitting job where I went right after school and babysat for maybe 2 hours every day,
mm-hmm.
and then all day Saturday.
And how much did that pay?
So, oh, it was probably only a quarter of an hour or something, but, you know, when you got your lump sum.
Yeah.
And I saved it all. I was very thrifty. Very saving. We did not have a lot of money.
Yeah.
But nearly everything I got went into the bank. You know, any time I could put $5 in the bank, I thought I was doing really well.
Uh-huh.
And so starting in high school, I was doing that. And I also did that while I was in college for a while. I worked at General Electric.
Oh, really?
2 summers. That was during the war, and they lowered the age to 16. They could hire 16-year-olds, so I worked there when I was 16 and 18, I think.
And was that
2 summers.
Interesting.
Yes, it was. It was a big company, General Electric, one of their bigger plants, I think, and I worked clerical work.
Uh-huh.
You know,
yeah.
A big office with loads of desks and people sitting at it doing various jobs. And
mm-hmm.
One of my jobs was as a file clerk, and I filed all day long.
All day long.
That was okay.
Did your mom ever have to go out of the house to get work, or did she just stay home and take care?
No, my mother always stayed home.
Do you remember any home?
And all my friends' parents stayed home. I just know one person in junior high school whose mother worked outside the home.
Oh, that's really changed right now.
Oh, the world has changed.
Yes, greatly. What were the holidays that you remember as a child?
I suppose Christmas.
Did you have a Christmas tree? And
we always had a big Christmas tree.
Uh-huh.
Not a lot of gifts, the way kids do today. If you got one game, one doll, you know, you and a couple of items of clothing, that was it.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't like dozens of toys for each kid. I remember we would get skates every time we had outgrown our old ones.
Uh-huh.
I remember getting overshoes, boots for Christmas, and being tickled to death.
Oh, yeah. Did you have a traditional dinner, turkey or ham? No.
Easter, Christmas, Thanksgiving, always we had the family. It was a big family dinner.
Mm-hmm.
I remember my mother making pies and cooking the turkey. And frankly, I think she did most of it herself. I don't remember that we kids all pitched in and helped the way I would make mine do if I had seven kids. it seems me. Oh, I suppose we did the dishes. I know we did the dishes. We swept the floor. We had our chores. Saturdays, we would dust and vacuum and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it isn't that we just lay around and did nothing.
Yeah.
But I don't remember any of us doing a lot of cooking at home, except when I was 12. My mother was hospitalized for a week, 10 days or so.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in charge of the house because everybody else was working, all the ones older than I. And I was in charge of the cooking, and I think I cooked hamburger quite a bit, but I cooked potatoes every night and everything. And oh, my mother praised me so much. The good job that I did feeding everybody with what little I knew how to cook, but I got a meal on the table every night.
Yeah, did your dad go hunting or?
No. I don't believe he had any hobbies at all.
Or he just went like to the supermarket to get meat, and did you have meat that often or?
Yes. Well, actually, some of my earliest memories are my mother. Once a week, she would sit down at the phone with her grocery list, call in a huge order, which always started with one peck of potatoes, and it was delivered to our house, which is something that isn't done now.
Yeah.
But of course, you know, we didn't have a car. Later on, there was a supermarket built not far from our house, so she did her shopping there. She would send us, I remember running to the store for bread, milk, things like this. We did a lot of errands. There were small mom and pop places around, but until that big supermarket was built, you didn't do all your shopping in one of those little places. I can remember bread being 11 cents a loaf. I can remember going up to the fish market, and I hated to go to the fish market. It smelled.
Oh, I bet.
And buying 15 cents worth of fish that would feed our family.
Oh, gee. That's really changed, different.
I'm making myself sound as though I'm a Neanderthal or something.
No, not at all. Did your mom sew your clothes, or did you?
No, she did not sew in that way. She mended, she darned, replaced the buttons and things like that, but she never really did any handiwork that I remember.
Did you get a lot of hand-me-downs from your...
Oh, I lived in hand-me-downs. I can almost remember the new dresses I ever got.
Yeah.
The one, you know, the first one I remember was for my older sister's wedding. I got a new dress. And when my sister Jo started working, and she was working in the GE, I remember she once bought me two new dresses, and I thought to have two new dresses was the greatest thing on earth.
Oh, yeah.
She was awfully good to me, and she was very generous and still is today. She gives away everything that she has.
Where does she live at?
She lives in Portsmouth, New Hampshire. And she comes here once a year to visit us.
Well, does she like it over here?
Oh, she loves it here, and she loves to come visit.
Do any of your brothers and sisters still live back home in the same town?
Not in the same town, not a single one of them. I only have one brother in Massachusetts, and he's in Sudbury. Two sisters in New Hampshire. I have a sister here.
Yeah.
And a brother in California.
So you're all spread out.
Yes. And my younger brother, I told you I was next to the youngest. Uh-huh. My younger brother died almost 2 years ago of cancer in Florida.
Oh.
He has settled in Florida. So we did all spread out.
Yeah. You get together much, or?
Not, we haven't had a family reunion. We visit each other occasionally. Although I haven't been to California for quite a while to see my brother, and he, okay, my oldest brother has been here once. He was here in June. It was Father's Day. He looked out the window. And it was starting to snow.
Oh, gee.
He has never come back. We live in that climate.
He
spent a lot of time over in the Philippines and in tropical climates.
Oh.
He was in the oil business. And when he came back to this country, he settled in California.
Oh.
He said he could never go back to a harsh climate.
So was the climate as you were a kid about the same as here? Was it colder or about the same month of summer and winter?
Well, maybe summer was a little longer. Spring came a little earlier. But we had severe winters. When you had a snowstorm, you really had a snowstorm. Something else. It was very moist. Humidity. High humidity rate. You know, if it got down to zero, it was really cold.
Yeah.
I remember the first year I was here getting up and someone said it was 25 below, and I said, 25 below? Oh, you know, I got ready to go back to bed. They're going to call our school, aren't they? And they looked at me as though I was crazy. This was at Fagnus. And I said, no, they aren't going to call our school, you know. And I finally went to school, and it was no colder than it had been at zero.
Hmm.
And the dry climate is much easier to take here than the cold is there. When Farrell went back to MIT, he had to walk across the Charles River every morning to school, and he said he was never as cold in Wyoming as he was.
Oh.
Walking across that bridge to get to the campus.
So when you first got here, what did you think when you saw a camera?
Okay, I got off the train. Excuse me, there was no one to meet me. So I called the school. School had already started.
Uh-huh.
I called the superintendent's office, and he said, oh, I'll send someone right down. Why don't you walk up to JCPenney's, and they'll meet you there.
Mm-hmm.
I said, all right, and I walked up and stood in front of J.C. Penney's, which is on the triangle, on the corner, and around the corner came four cowboys. 10-gallon hats, jeans, high-heel boots. I stood there, and I had never seen anything like that except in the movies. And I started to giggle. And I'm saying, Nancy, you can't be standing here in a corner, the stranger, I'm giggling away. And I had a hard time keeping a straight face. So Bessie came to pick me up and take me to her house. And I lived with Bessie Beach for the first few months. She had a big house and rented out rooms to school teachers.
So what grade did you teach? Was it elementary, high school?
No, I wound up teaching grade school. As a matter of fact, at first I taught both third and fourth grades in Diamondville.
Oh, really?
And This was the year they built the new school in Diamondville, the present Lagoon School.
Uh-huh.
And that was different because, you know, I had never been to a country school or a school where they had two classes together.
Oh, yeah.
But it worked out very well. I enjoyed it. And everybody around me was so good and so helpful.
Yeah.
Mr. Kendall Peterson was the principal, and the first grade teacher was a brand new teacher, just as I was, and then Mrs. Miller, well, she taught second grade, and the teacher taught first grade, and I had the third and fourth, and Mr. Peterson had fifth and sixth. And they were all very helpful. I remember when I walked in the first day, as I said, school had started.
Mm-hmm.
And I showed up in the morning, and Mr. Peterson showed me where all my textbooks were and introduced me to the class and such. And he started to walk out, and I started to panic. I didn't know what to do. I said, what do I do first? I said, where's the Bible? Because
oh,
when
yeah.
I had gone to public school, we had a Bible reading every morning.
Oh.
And he just looked horrified and said, oh, no, no, we don't do anything like that here. And interesting things happened. I had good kids, and of course, they're all adults and grandparents
here
living here in town now,
yeah.
Some of them. And but it was interesting. I should say there were, when I came, the first grade teacher was Juanita. She was Juanita Clementson at the time. She married shortly after. And Marge and Dorothy. There were four of us single girls,
mm-hmm.
all living close together, as of course you would in Kemmerer anyway.
Yes.
And the four of us did a lot of things together. I remember one of the first Saturdays we were here, we went out to the Pouchet Ranch up
and
on the Fontanelle.
What did you do out there?
We rode horses.
Was that a first for you?
It probably was. You know, I had been led around on a pony at a carnival or something.
Uh-huh.
But no, I had never really been horseback riding before. You know, we just wandered around and we had dinner there. The Pouchets were just graciously hospitable to us. The two Pouchet boys, Paul and John,
mm-hmm.
you probably know both those
yes,
older gentlemen now, they were so shy they almost hid from us. That was kind of interesting. And of course the reason we went was because one of the girls, Marge, had Mimi Pouchet as a student,
oh.
and she invited us out. But we did things. We went to Salt Lake. We...
And did you have a car?
No. Let me think. Marge had a car. Dorothy got a car at the end of the year. I never did own a car before I was married. I think the very first time we ever went to Salt Lake, and not all four of us went, just a couple of us,
mm-hmm.
we went with Laura Genova.
Oh.
And she was going down, and she took us to see the big city, and she said, now be sure you wear a hat. And of course, we always wore white gloves because
uh-huh.
we were going to the city. And that seems quite funny today. You don't
yes.
see anybody in a hat
no,
and white gloves.
And that was a real big thing.
Oh, yes.
Exciting.
I would never. And my mother, if she were going to visit the lady across the street, would have put on a hat
mm.
to go outside.
Mm.
When she went to the grocery store, she put on a hat. She didn't ever leave the house without a hat.
Hmm. That's unique. That's really different from what you think of now.
Yes.
Did you always wear dresses, or were
not necessarily
suitable?
Actually, well, of course, we always wore dresses to school, and every
mm-hmm.
now and then we would get together and sign all kinds of petitions to submit to the administration to let us wear slacks to school.
Uh-huh.
And of course, they always said, no,
mm-hmm.
you can't. I think it was during World War II that women wearing pants became more acceptable.
Mm-hmm.
We had Levi's. When I came out here, people said, boy, I'll bet you've never had a pair of Levi's before, but I had.
Mm-hmm.
I can remember a very nice pantsuit I had that my generous sister had given me. But you wore it only certain places. You would not go to church that way.
Mm-hmm.
When I was in high school, I wore a uniform, so that took care of that. But we'd wear shorts, slacks. Summertime, we lived in bathing suits and shorts.
Mm-hmm.
We were about 2 miles from the ocean.
Oh.
Oh, so what did we do for recreation? We went to the beach every chance we got.
Definitely. Do you miss the ocean?
Yes, that is the one thing. I don't miss city life. I like to visit cities. I would not want to live in a city again. I like small town life.
Yeah.
But the ocean, yes, I miss.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, let me tell you my first thoughts of Kemmer, Wyoming, or Wyoming in general. I had never seen anything so stark in my life. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe that you could have miles and miles of treeless nothing, I thought. I came by train, as I told you, and coming all the way across the state, I just stared horrified out the window. And every now and then you could see a car going along the highway or something, and I would think, where is it coming from? Where is it going to? There is nothing. And we did stop, of course, in, you know, Cheyenne there, New Orleans, Hot Springs. And the train stations are definitely in the worst part of town.
Mm-hmm.
So what you saw when you stopped in a city was not too encouraging.
Yeah.
I was not sure I was going to get off when we got to Kemmer.
Oh,
the train did come right into Kemmer at that time. But I was brave and I got off the train and have never regretted it.
Oh, that's good.
But see, I was used to loads of trees and you're always cutting back because things grow so profusely.
Yeah.
So
it's just a barren land.
I have come to love these hills, you know. To me, that Oyster Ridge over there was just barren nothing when I came. Now I can look out my window at various seasons and it changes. So I can look at our different times of the day and the colors change and it's beautiful.
Yeah, now that would take some getting used to.
But yes, it did.
Oh, goodness. When did you meet your husband? Did you meet him here?
I met him here. This is kind of interesting because I came here for 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of that first year, I thought, oh, in order to show some stability, I'd better sign a contract and come back for another year.
Mm-hmm.
I went home for the summer, came back to teach the second year. And why I came back the third year, I'm not sure, because I didn't intend to make a life here. And yet, and maybe I was enjoying small town life so much, I maybe already didn't want to go back and face the city.
Yeah.
I don't know. And it was during my third year here that I met Bill.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think. I knew Otto. I knew all Bill's friends.
Mm-hmm.
But Bill was away in the service.
Oh.
And this was during the Korean War.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was, he came home during the Christmas holidays that year, and that's when I met him.
Hmm.
We didn't start dating immediately, well, but eventually we did. And we were married the following November.
Mm-hmm. You have two kids, right?
Two children.
How many grandkids?
Seven. Yes.
And Farrell's a priest, right?
Oh, my first child was a boy, and he is now a priest. And my daughter, Kelly, is married to Bob Toman, and they have seven children.
And they're in Riverton now, right?
Right. They have just moved up near Pavilion.
Hmm.
about 10 miles out of Riverton, I think. Seemed to be enjoying it very much.
Oh, it's nice country up there. It's, again, totally different from
it is
around here.
All right, they struggle down, you know, on this lower ranch,
yeah,
about 30 miles away for 12, 14 years or so.
Mm.
And this place that they have, that they are now buying, is about a third the size of the lower ranch.
Uh-huh.
And about three times as productive.
Oh, well, that's good. Yeah.
So I'm not quite sure why we keep struggling.
Yes.
Here.
And Farrell's back east?
He's in Milwaukee.
Milwaukee. Does he like it there?
Yes.
He does?
He's very adaptable. He would like it anywhere. He's had an interesting career. He graduated from MIT. Went into the business world for a year, then had an opportunity to go to Rome and study for his master's, which he did.
Mm-hmm.
Then he went to Spain and got his doctorate.
Oh, goodness.
And then he went into teaching. I remember when he called me and said, "Are you sitting down? This is going to blow your mind. I'm going to be a teacher." And he taught in a boys' school for 2 years, I think, before he became a priest.
Did he enjoy teaching?
Yes. I think he, you know, he enjoys whatever he's doing at the moment.
Yeah.
And he's very busy. He was very, very active in school. Of course, he had some musical talent and
uh-huh.
played in the band and played the piano. He was an excellent actor.
Oh, really?
Yes, he did beautifully in the dramatics
yeah.
and won some awards for best actor. We have statuettes upstairs. He went out for every sport. He was never an outstanding athlete.
Uh-huh.
But he warmed a lot of benches, and he
yeah.
got to play every now and then. And he played football, basketball, wrestling. He started out in junior high as though he was going to be a very good wrestler.
Uh-huh.
But when he got into high school, it wasn't that.
Huh.
He still wrestled, but he was never a star. But he was a star in everything else he did, so that was part of the good to keep him. It would have been too much if he'd starred in athletics, too.
Yeah. When you got to Kemmerer, was there a hospital here? Or?
Yes, the Lincoln County Miners Hospital. One more thing about the kid.
Oh.
Both Kelly and Farrell were valedictorians of their class.
Oh, very smart.
1 year after
yeah.
the other. The Lincoln County Miners Hospital was before we had a hospital district.
Uh-huh.
And of course it was more or less the same location as our hospital is now. That's where both my children were born.
And they're 1 year apart, you said? Kelly?
16 months, I believe.
Months.
They were a year apart in school.
Are they real close together?
They are very close. Of course, they don't see each other very
yeah.
often. And they had their spats growing up, I suppose, but not the way I hear some parents talking about how their kids just can't get along at all.
Yeah.
They had their regular chores, and if Farrell had football with us, he'd say to Kelly, "Can I change with you?" And they were always agreeable, too.
Oh, that's
they
nice.
Were always accommodating each other.
That's good.
And then she looks up to Farrell very much, and he always kind of looked out for her
yeah.
when he could.
Yeah. She chose not to go on to any type of school?
She went to the University of Wyoming
oh,
for a year
did.
And a half.
And she decided it wasn't her cup of tea, or?
Yes. She said, "Mother, I never intended to go to college, never wanted to go to college. I only went because you had always expected it of me." And of course I had.
Oh, yes.
It was a great disappointment
mm-hmm.
when she quit school. And then she came back here, and of course, you know, Kelly is a rancher through
mm-hmm.
and through.
Yeah.
She lived up at the little house at Smedden's for a while
mm-hmm.
and took courses at Western Wyoming College. She did go into, took business
mm.
co- courses and all. In at Laramie, she had been into agriculture.
Oh.
And so she decided she needed some business if she was going to be a rancher mm-hmm. and all. And it's certainly come in handy because she's been in business ever since.
Yeah, well, that was a good choice on her.
Yes.
Do you remember any blacks in Kenma, or was
very, very few.
Were people very prejudiced? Is that why they weren't here?
I felt people
or?
In Kenma were quite prejudiced. When I came, there was not a single black.
Uh-huh.
Most of the people in Kenma had never known a black,
uh-huh.
unless they had been in the service or something.
Uh-huh.
And yet, there were racial slurs.
Oh, yeah.
A lot. From people you wouldn't expect it from. And it startled me and it stunned me.
Yeah. There still aren't that many blacks here today.
Very few. And I was thinking that the other day. There isn't a black family here that I know of.
Yeah.
I think there may be a few single blacks who are working around
uh-huh.
here. We have had, there was a, I shouldn't say there wasn't a black lady. There have been a couple of black ladies that were older who lived here, and they were accepted.
Yeah.
And of course, there was the step family up in the LaBarge area.
Mm-hmm.
They were very well respected, a black family. But as I say, most people just had an image of blacks who all lived huddled together in the South.
Yes.
And such.
Do you think Kenma's still pretty prejudiced today, or on the average, most people?
I think there's prejudice everywhere in the world,
yeah,
I think.
There is.
Yes, there's prejudice in Kenma, maybe not as much, or are not as thoughtless as it was in those days. In
uh-huh.
those days, it didn't occur to anyone that they were making a racial slur.
Oh.
And I think today people must realize they're making a racial slur
yeah.
if they make
yes,
some of those remarks.
Say
but I'll tell you one thing about Kenma. Someone has counted up the nationalities that were here when the coal mines were all going and such.
Uh-huh.
There were something like 30 different nationalities, and they got along well.
Oh, really?
There were never any racial wars here the way there might have been in other areas,
uh-huh.
even in Wyoming, such as Rock Springs. Every community around here had a Japanese, and I will admit that most of the people tended to live in the same neighborhood as others
like
with
that.
Their same ancestry.
Mm-hmm.
Sublet, you know, we were up there and they were saying, well, this was, they always called them Jap Town.
Uh-huh,
and
yeah.
this was Slav Town or something where the Slavish people
uh-huh.
lived. And this was where the Italians lived.
So it's marked
so,
spaces.
But they were all there in Sublet and Cumberland and Kenma.
Mm-hmm.
In Kenma, a lot of the Japanese people lived over in Frontier and had beautiful gardens.
And that was the company town?
Yeah.
Kenma?
Yeah.
Were the mines pretty well started up when you got here, or were they just barely getting going? Or?
Oh, they were dead when I
they
got
were
here.
They were.
When I got here, the Kenma coal mine was operating.
Mm-hmm.
And had just, well, of course, that is not an underground mine.
Yes.
And that was very new at the time I got here.
Yeah.
Brilliant was still working a couple of days a week.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there would be announcements on the radio in the morning, Elko works, Brilliant, idle,
mm-hmm.
or something. So Elko was the Kenma coal mine.
Oh.
Well, they were both Kenma coal mines. Let me take that back. But the miners were only working a few days a week.
Mm-hmm.
During World War II, most of the country had switched from coal to gas or oil as heating. And there just wasn't that much going here. And Kemmer was a dying town in the 50s until Utah Power and Light came to town.
Oh, not reopened.
Built a power plant that used lots of coal. Mm. And ever since then, there's been a large workforce at the mine and at the power plant. And FMC came in with the coke plant shortly after that. And then FMC opened their own mine in the 70s or so. And Northwest Pipeline moved into Opal. So things did diversify a little more. But still, this town is very dependent on that coal mine.
Yes. Do you believe if the Utah Power and Light didn't come in that Kemmer would kind of be more of a ghost town type, or?
Well, it was heading towards a ghost town type when I first arrived. If the mine were to shut down, is what you're saying, and the power plant.
Yeah.
I don't know what would keep people here.
Yeah.
There is some oil and gas industry. And of course, the service is, in the old days, you know, there were three bakeries, several ice cream shops, and the millinery stores. There were several millinery stores, which you don't find anywhere nowadays, except in a large city. There were, of course, people didn't have cars. They did all their shopping right here. And people came in from the other mines and the ranches. So we had a much larger shopping and entertainment industry here in the older days than we do now.
Yeah, yeah, that's because everybody can go other places.
True.
Were teachers in large demand when you decided to become a teacher? And
they were
lots of openings.
Small towns always had to import their teachers. And so there were lots of openings throughout the West.
Would you have liked to stay back home to teach, or did you really want to?
Well, of course, I put an application in there just as a routine thing, knowing that I could not be hired. When I went home for summer vacation after I had already told them here in Kemmer that I would come back the second year, there was a letter from them, from the Lynn School District, saying that I was hired, offering me a job. And of course, I had already committed myself here, so I didn't take it. But I had assumed that I would eventually go back home and teach school and be the old maid aunt to all my nieces and nephews and shower them with love and affection and gifts and such. Didn't quite work out that way.
Let's move on to more like present day. You're really into politics. How did you get started?
Okay, I'm not as active as I was. I was always interested in politics. When I came here, you know, we had no, we didn't have a, it was before the radio station was here. No local television. Any news that we got was out of Salt Lake. So I could tell you about Salt Lake politics. I read news magazines. I knew, I kept up with politics in California and New York and Massachusetts. I hardly knew what was happening in Wyoming. And it takes a while for a person to become interested in a new political situation anyway. But I was interested, and my family had been Democrats, and I used to read in the newspaper occasionally that there was a Democratic meeting, and once I read a legal notice that they were having their county convention, I guess, and I decided to go. It was held at the courthouse. There were 16 people there, The only other woman there was Casey Hirschler. She and Ed came in. They were electing officers. It was not a convention. It was a central committee meeting.
Oh.
Election of officers. The party chairman, and this is still a rule, is of one sex, and the vice chair has to be of the opposite sex.
Mm-hmm.
So Bruno Bonicelli was reelected as chairman, and they said, would you be vice chair?
Mm-hmm.
So I said, well, I guess. So I started out my very first meeting as vice chairman mm-hmm. of the county party, mm-hmm. and I said, what do I do? And I did organize a women's group that was quite active for a while, for quite a while.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You got Businesswoman of the Year last year?
That was a very nice honor from the business and professional women.
Definitely. How did you go about all the stuff that you had to do for they were nominated you?
Well, of course, I didn't know about it until it was announced.
Uh-huh.
They told me they do their nominating within their group. But of course, I had done quite a few things by that time.
Uh-huh.
I did serve 2 terms in the state legislature. Served 8 years as a county commissioner. Had always been involved in church things. You know, originally it was collecting for the Red Cross.
Uh-huh.
And will you do this? Will you do that? And I had not learned to say no. So I found myself being involved in a lot of things. Uh-huh. How I happened to get involved in running for election is another story.
Did you know Ed Hirschler personally before he was governor, or?
Yes, we were never close friends.
Yeah.
But we saw each other
mm-hmm.
on the street, occasionally at his office, at political meetings.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when I first came here, the Hirschlers were one of the first people I met. There was a very active little theater.
Mm-hmm.
And while I would have been scared to death to be on a stage,
mm-hmm.
I did join the group to help out in, you know,
backstage
and such. Never took part in one of their productions. But Ed and Casey were part of that group.
Oh.
And one of the very first plays they had, Hirschler's had an open house for us all afterwards.
Did you like him being governor? Did you agree with his views on stuff, or?
Usually.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to say that Ed and I were in total agreement all the time. I don't think any two people are.
Yeah.
But I think he was an excellent governor.
Do you like Mike Sullivan now?
Yes, I do. Mm. A totally different person from Ed Hirschler.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he's done an excellent job as governor.
Yes, he's changed in a lot of different things. Do you think we'll have a woman governor anywhere in the near future, or do you think that's kind of not going to happen?
No, I think it could very well happen. It depends on the candidate.
Yes, the right candidate.
For instance, if Kathy Coffin were to run tomorrow, she would probably mm-hmm. be our next governor.
Uh-huh.
Because she is well known and she has done an excellent job at what she's doing.
Mm-hmm.
If Jane Doe decides to run for governor next election,
mm-hmm.
She, unless she were well known and had a name behind her, she would have a tougher time.
Okay. What did you think of the Desert Storm, the Iraq War? Did you agree with us going in, or?
I had very mixed feelings about it. Naturally, mm-hmm. I wanted us to avoid war in
mm-hmm.
any way. When it started, it was fascinating. I sat in front of the TV for days, you know, but still, you wondered about all those innocent Iraqis being killed. And then the Iraqi soldiers who were so ill-trained and running away from us. And all this. I had very mixed feelings about it, but when it was over, I thought, well, thank goodness, at least we have taken care of their nuclear capabilities and their chemical warfare and such.
Yeah.
And now I say, no, we didn't do that. And Saddam Hussein is still there. It makes you wonder.
Yes, it does. What do you think is our country's worst problem right now? Homeless people or?
Well, I'd say the economy right now. And this morning our president was telling us on the news that things were really, all the economic indicators were pointed upwards, and all the economists are telling us they're not. The economy is very bad. The deficit is horrendous.
Mm-hmm.
And people aren't talking about it much anymore. Mm-hmm. We do have the problem of homelessness. And you know, when I was a child, I don't remember any homelessness.
Oh, really?
I shouldn't say that. There were beggars occasionally.
Mm-hmm.
I remember a blind fiddler who used to be in downtown Lynn. And I think there was one other one that stood on a corner, you know, playing his fiddle, and people would drop coins. But of course, then under FDR, you know, they put in all these programs so people didn't need to beg for a living anymore.
Uh-huh.
They put in the social programs that I think really worked and took care of people.
Mm-hmm.
We're spending a lot more on social programs now, but they aren't taking care of. There are too many
problem.
People falling between the cracks.
Yeah. What do you think our strongest point is?
One of our other problems, of course, is the environment. We've got some real problems that we have to be looking at there. What is our strength, our strong point?
All right, our strong point.
I think the strong point is that we are the United States of America. We do have our freedom.
Mm-hmm.
We especially have freedom of speech, freedom
true.
Of religion, freedom of the press. And there's a lot of press bashing.
Mm-hmm.
And if you say the wrong thing, no matter how much right you have to say it, you're apt to get in trouble.
Yes, that's
but
true.
But still, we do have the freedom to say it.
Do you remember anything about the unions, people being active in the unions for the strikes? Or
here in
Cameron,
there have been several strikes during my lifetime here. We've avoided strikes several times. Whenever negotiations were coming on for renewed contracts and such, you could see this town just pulling the merchants. Downtown could see their business dropping off.
Oh,
people were so unsure as to what was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
There've never been any violent strikes that I remember.
Mm-hmm.
Even when we've been doing a lot of historical research, of course, on coal mining unions and such through the museum. And unions had a terrible time and much violence organizing originally. I'm talking about the United Mine Workers. But that didn't happen here because Mr. Qualey and Mr. Kemmer, who might have originally opposed them, came around and welcomed them and said, yes, these people may have their unions.
Mm-hmm.
And they did it they organized without any violence.
Well, that's good. Were there people running stills at the time, or was liquor legal, or how was that?
When I came here?
Or
I don't know if anyone who had a still. Oh, good heavens, I never knew of anyone in the East who made, well, wait a minute, I take it back, my father made beer.
Oh, really?
When I was a small child, he used to make beer. He quit before I was grown enough to enjoy it.
Enjoy it.
But I had never really heard of bootlegging mm-hmm. and moon shining until I came here. And of course, then it was past history.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure a lot of people made wine. Mm-hmm. The old Italian people still made their wine when I came here. But the bootleg days were over, and they were remembered as the good old days. Mm-hmm. And there are some marvelous mm-hmm. stories of mm-hmm. bootleg days in Wyoming.
When you were back east and you applied and you heard that you had a job here, did you hear any stories about Wyoming in general, about Indians or cowboys or anything like that?
You know, I came here just a few days after accepting the
uh-huh.
job. I hadn't realized how far north it was. My geography wasn't that good. And I don't know that I thought of the cowboy and Indian so much. We looked it up in the encyclopedia, and it said Kemmer, Wyoming, known for its fossil fish.
Oh,
great. I'm going out there with a bunch of old fossils. Now, of course, I had never lived in a small town before.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not sure I gave the cowboys much thought until my first day here when I saw them and thought they looked like something out of the movies.
Oh. Okay. What would you say is your best memory of your life right now?
Oh my goodness, what a question. I have a whole lifetime of good memories.
Uh-huh.
Life has been very good to me.
Uh-huh.
My very best memory. Maybe something personal, like being Woman of the Year.
Uh-huh.
And I was the very first recipient of the Nellie Taylor Ross Award, which is given by the Democratic Party, and that was
mm-hmm.
statewide, and that was a very great
mm-hmm.
honor. You know, would you say being married, having your first child, having your second child?
Yeah.
There's been many happy days in my life.
Okay. How about a worst memory?
Maybe that would be political. Through some great misunderstanding, I got the whole fire department down on me once. This was when I was county commission. And it was making headlines, and K2 was reporting on it. And it was awful because it was a total misunderstanding.
Uh-huh.
And the people that felt offended by me were very vocal and going to the press and going to all the media and such. And that was something that was kind of hard to put up with, but I kind of kept my mouth shut and it blew over. Another thing was, I suppose, the purchase of the fossils. Do you remember that?
Vaguely.
For the courthouse. And that was blown up into such a big thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a lot of criticism for it.
Mm-hmm.
But anyone who really talked to me about it then went away
mm-hmm.
with a different view. But so many times in politics, you're apt to run into things like
definitely.
That. I remember once being over in Cokeville, going to a meeting where they were very rude to me. And I asked, you know, I couldn't quite understand it, but I thought I knew what it was all about. And finally
mm-hmm.
someone said, well, you're not going to get any votes out of Cokeville because of your stand on predator control.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, what is my stand?
Yeah.
No one in the world has ever asked me what my stand was on predator control. And this happens to you so often.
Yes, it does in politics. Things can get changed around.
Yes.
Would you say that Kemmer is a good place to grow up?
I think so. I'm glad my children had a chance to grow up here. There are disadvantages, there are advantages
uh-huh.
to city life.
Yeah.
You know, they have not been to lots of museums, seen lots of works of art, heard lots of symphonies or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
But on balance, I would rather have my children grow up in a small town.
Okay. We're almost done here. is there any stories just about anything that you'd like to share? Anything interesting or something funny or anything at all?
I will think of lots of things after you've left.
Yes, it always does.
You know, give me a subject sometimes and I can go on and on.
Yeah.
It was rather interesting how I happened to run for the legislature.
Mm-hmm.
I was, there were, we elect two state representatives from this county. There were two Republicans running and only one Democrat, and we were trying desperately to fill the ticket.
Mm-hmm.
I was teaching school at the time.
Mm-hmm.
One of the Republicans that was running was the superintendent of schools here. And we were racking our brains trying to find somebody who would fill the ticket for us.
Mm-hmm.
And jokingly a couple of times, you know, we said, I should run against him or something like that. But of course it was never a serious consideration till shortly before filing deadline. And I got a call from, I would say Bruno Bonicelli and Emil Siegfried, who were the two leaders of the party here at that time. And they said, look, let's stop joking around. We want you to run. And of course, it was mostly a matter of just putting your name on the ballot. Nobody ever expected that I would get any place. I said, oh, you know, I'm teaching school, I've got a family, I had never left my kids overnight before, and my children were in high school at this time, by the way. So I said, well, I'll let you know tomorrow. And that evening I talked to my husband, and I, you know, the minute I said they want me to run, he just blurted out, you can't do that. You've got a job, a family, you can't do that. And I, meek, little, obedient wife that I was, said, okay, and I called them up and said, no, my husband won't let me. And that sounds so strange to me now. And that evening, my children sat me down and they said, look, we want to talk about this. We've talked about it, and we think you should run, Mother. And the whole family talked about it, and Bill said, I don't care, do whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, oh no, this is very important to the family. I would have to have total family backing, including yours, Bill.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not just do whatever you want. And he thought about it for a while, and then he came back and he said, I've thought about it, I think you should run. And trying to get, this was the last day of filing, trying to get my signature to Cheyenne. I had to be in the Secretary of State's office at 5 o'clock, and we just barely made it. And that's how I got into politics, into elective politics.
Mm-hmm.
Very surprisingly, I beat my superintendent, and he was very, he had to be a wonderful sport about it. And I went down to the legislature, and I was scared to death.
Oh, I imagine. Overwhelming.
I wasn't even quite sure what it was all about. I sat there for the whole first 40 days and hardly opened my mouth. The social life was great. but I was no speech maker. I was scared to death to stand up in front of people and talk at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't. And but I did get to the point where I felt comfortable working in committees.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did much better there. But I was never any great orator on the floor.
Uh-huh.
I did not introduce a fight for a lot of bills. I did much better the second term. And then I was defeated by Star Valley, and we've never had a representative from this end of the county since.
They do have a lot more population up there, just voting-wise.
Yes. Mm. And they vote more in a block where we're a whole bunch of independents down here.
Okay, my final question. Is there anything you would like to leave, any words of wisdom to your children or grandchildren? About enjoying life or do's and don'ts?
Yes, enjoy life, but don't make enjoyment the purpose of your life.
Yeah.
Always do what you think is right. And even though it may be tough at the time, you will later decide it was the right, that you did the right thing. Just be good, be kind. The good old Christian concept is the easiest way to live. It really is.
Yeah.
Because you can always live with yourself and have the respect of other people around you. And, you know, I suppose the old work ethic. Do something productive with your life.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think community service is important.
Mm-hmm.
But always look kindly on other people. Don't ever look down on anybody.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, don't look way up to somebody because they happen to have a high title or a lot of money or something. Yeah, treat everybody the same, which is difficult to put into practice sometimes.
Yeah.
I do want to add one more thing that I think maybe some of the best service I have ever given was as county commissioner. County commissioner is a much more exciting job than being in the legislature unless you're Speaker of the House or something.
Mm.
You're in day-to-day contact with the people you serve.
Mm-hmm.
You have day-to-day decisions to make.
Mm-hmm.
I will say that the first 4 years I served were just a delight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'd wake up in the morning and think, oh, commission meets today, and I'd just be real happy.
Mm-hmm.
The last 4 years were not as happy because people had, the other commissioners had changed. And at first it was very difficult for those other two men to work with a woman.
Yeah.
and they were scared of me. One of them was very definitely scared of me. It was difficult. They talked to each other all the time, and not to me at all.
Uh-huh.
And it took almost the whole 4 years to overcome that. But by the time I left the commission, we were all good friends.
Mm. Oh, that's good.
So
it's working together.
And I liked them. They were always likable people.
Mm-hmm. I just had a hard time dealing with the woman in politics.
Right. They, mm-hmm. you know, and they had held high church jobs where
mm-hmm.
they would tell the women what to do and the women would do it and, of course, never argue.
Yeah.
And when I would say, wait, let's think about this a minute, you know, they would just look astounded that I would challenge. It was hard for them.
Yeah.
As hard for them, maybe, as it was for me to accept, you know, for me to accept
mm-hmm.
that treatment. It was as hard for them to accept me, but it worked itself out, and we're all better off for it, I guess.
Yeah.
I think they're better off for it, for having learned.
They learned, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So.
Okay, well, I thank you a lot for your time. Generous of you to
Tammy, I'll think of dozens of things to talk about. Oh, we didn't say that the thing I do now is run a museum.
Oh, yes, that's the Fossil Country Museum.
And I guess you could say that I started the museum, and it's 3 years old now, and I'm still running it, and hope to retire soon, as soon as I can find somebody else who's crazy enough to take it over.
A lot of work.
Yes.
It's turned out very nice, though.
I'm so proud of what's happening there.
Mm. It gives another part of Kemmer, kind of like JCPenney's now, the museum. It does add a lot.
And we're going to dedicate our coal exhibit this coming week.
Mm.
And I'm so pleased with the way that's turning out.
It makes it all worthwhile.
Much better than I had envisioned when we started on it.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
what makes it all worthwhile.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay,
very
well.
Very good.
I thank you.
That awesome.